once again. As usual, I must warn you all that this year's Halloween show is very, very scary. And those of you with young children may want to send them off.
I'm a nightmare walking, Brie Larson stalking. Came to wrangle the dame and put nails up in the coffin. I stay haunting. It's the ghost from Oakland, West Coast to straight coasting. Yeah, I got Lucille with Glenn's brains. Walking dead, and everything's changed. Treehouse of Horrors, we stay lurking for Easter eggs. And we counting down 11s, 11 eggs from Stranger Things. Bucky Butts, ride that shotgun with me. Suicide Squad, yeah, we terrorize your city. This the G-Splash, I suggest you get with it. Cause if you don't, you won't know shit about shitty. Bucky Butts, ride that shotgun with me. Suicide Squad, yeah, we terrorize the city. This is G-Splash, this is just your keys, bitch. This is the rhyme, you don't know shit about shit. This is the dope show.
Yo. Welcome to another episode of G-Splash. Let the Halloween song ride out a little bit.
This is the dope show.
This is the dope show. Welcome to G-Splash Podcast, where we talk movies, comic books, and all things pop culture. And this is the only podcast on the internet that's still convinced that The Simpsons are good. I think so, and I will forever hold that. Chris may not.
This is one half of one podcast that thinks The Simpsons are still good.
This is the only podcast on the internet that's divided because one thinks The Simpsons are still good.
That's completely divided in half.
I'm your host, Batley Ratster. And as always, I got my man, my creepiest friend, Chris Tortures Goths, a.k.a. Yucky Goths. See what I did there?
We got Halloween names.
Kind of flipped.
I see what you did there.
Chris Tortures Goths. Chris Tote.
Yucky Goths. You got to be Batley Ratster.
Yeah, my name's easy. Yours was a little bit harder to flip. Anyway.
Sounds sweet. Sounds like one of Doug Funny's friends.
Someone who's in the fucking Beats.
Batley Ratster.
I think last year I was Ratley Trasher. I don't know. Anyway, this is episode 52. What's poppin'?
Woohoo! 52. The new 52. Well, I guess that now they're the old 52.
Yeah, I guess it's... But for us...
Little comic thing there for you if you didn't believe we were dorks.
Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. Halloween's coming up. That'll be fun. Going to California, going to go down to Disneyland during Halloween time and Universal Studios.
That
so that'll be
me.
Fun. It's going to be great. What about you? How's your life?
My life. Sorry, it's moving. We're shaking. We're bobbing and weaving. You know.
Sounds good.
Floating along like a piece of shit that I am.
Oh! Hey, oh, that's something that Ratley Batster would say.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell your name is.
let's talk about some upcoming episodes and announcements. This week on Splash Trash Mad, we're talking Halloween and Jonah Hill's new joint, Mid-90s. Yay. That'll be dropping. What?
We're good at Splash Trash Mad. If you don't know what Splash Trash Mad is and you're listening to this, you definitely check it out. They're like 15 to 20 minutes segments where we talk about movies that are already out or coming out, and we say, is this movie good? That's a
splash,
right? I know this. I've only done it 52 times. Or is it just okay, meh? Or is it trash, garbage?
Yeah,
we kind of dive into it. So check those out. Those are a lot of fun.
Definitely. I gave my reviews of both movies, so holler at your boy.
Holler at your boy.
And then next week, we're talking about our oh-so-obvious Halloween special. Ooh, is it a spooky?
I love Halloween. Big Halloween fan. Yeah, just in general.
Chris and I will figure out what we're going to be talking about because we don't know.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something at you. We're going to shout at you for an hour about something, that's for sure.
Yeah, it may just be about our favorite candy.
Ooh.
Anyway, Chris, you ready to ready to dive into this?
I'm ready to dive in.
Third episode back, man. Let's hit that.
Heavy button.
52! We got news! Speaking of Halloween, what comes with Halloween? And spooky things are ghosts. But what do we love to do with ghosts? Love to bust them.
Bust on them. I mean, bust them.
Bust on them. Busting never felt so good.
Ghost busting. We love to busting ghosts.
Chris, you're a bigger gamer than I am, but the big rant couple years ago was Pokemon Go. Now we've got Ghostbusters World taking that. Is it augmented reality? Right.
Augmented reality, yep.
Instead of finding Pokemon, you're finding ghosts and you catch them.
That's so cool. I'm so excited for that. Is it live right now? Could I just go into my thing and download it right this minute?
You can download it right now.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
The map's all there, and then you just capture ghosts.
What I'm getting is that if you have never played Pokemon Go, huge trend. If you haven't, you've seen somebody looking at their phone almost walk into traffic. It's basically like a game where on your phone you can turn on a camera and you can look around your living room. But with this Ghostbusters one, all of a sudden, you guessed it, there's a ghost. And you got to check out your freaking proton pack, catch that ghost, and you get to have it in your little ghost box. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this.
It's really weird, though. What's kind of separates it from anything we kind of seen in the Ghostbusters world, you can have, like, the library of all your ghosts that you've captured.
You can really get some... I mean, there's, like, multiplayer boss raids. You battle and capture ghosts. The ghosts are everywhere. You can battle your ghosts against other people's ghosts. There's hundreds of ghosts. I'm literally just reading off the stuff that's on the little app thing.
Good for Ghostbusters of keeping that thing alive. That thing's rocking, what, 40 years now, too?
No. It's crushing. Yeah, yeah.
Like 35.
Oh, did I say 80s? It's 84.
No, I think it's 84.
So let's meet in the middle.
Yeah, it is 84. The tagline is what, Chris?
I ain't afraid no ghost.
No, I meant for the game. That is the tagline. Bussin' never felt so good.
Oh, become a Ghostbuster. Bussin' never felt so good. It's just an article by Screen Rant.
But I swear, is that not the official tagline?
No, the guy that wrote that article or gal must have just been fucking Robin Burks. Well, that didn't clear it up. Must have just been absolutely over the moon when he or she popped in the old title and said, Bussin' never felt so good. I mean, it must have been high-fiving people on the way home. I get that. I know that feeling.
Do you think this person like threw it at the editor and was like, I wonder if this is going to fly?
Boom. And they were like, oh, shit, that's a slam dunk.
They kind of look at him like, I don't know if we can get away with this.
Oh, we going to try.
And then it's like, but it's the fucking internet, so we going to do it.
Sweet Christmas.
It's the internet. That's how it works. Just
that's it.
Did I ever tell you the story about how the dude, I was walking home one night. Kind of late in New York, and this dude comes up to me, doesn't have a shirt on, and he's like, hey man, you play that Pokemon Go? And I was like, nah man. I'm like, in my mind, I was like, no man, I'm like 30 fucking plus, like I don't,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm gonna be out here captioning. Yeah, that was my thought process. But he was like, man, you ain't shit. And I was like, wow. I questioned myself, like, man, I really must be missing out on something really, really great, because my whole life, I'm questioning my entire life. I made the decision to not play this game. My life is now shit. It went from being like, yeah, we're good, we're floating along, life is great, I live in New York, things are popping, shaking, moving. And then it just was like, nah, your life's shit because you didn't play this game.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. I definitely remember that, because when Pokemon Go launched was that week that I came out there with my family to New York.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the whole city was just on fire because everyone was playing it. So
and it was so I'm hot. Sure this it was one, summertime.
I mean, think about that. That was like 2 years ago or whatever. It took 2 years for something. And there's been other games that have utilized AR, but if this Ghostbusters World thing is anything close to it, that was 2 years. That app just ran wild and ate up market share. So you really have to be a Ghostbusters fan to get into this one for sure.
Yeah, I think they're coming out with the Halloween version of Pokemon Go.
Classic.
Anyway, speaking of people trying to fight other people, I'm sure you're aware of what happened Saturday night between the Lakers and the Rockets.
They played basketball, of course.
And I'm sure you saw the brawl heard around the world.
There was a big brawl, people throwing punches and pushing each other and saying, hey!
I believe they're calling it Spitgate.
Spitgate, oh good.
Saturday star-studded Lakers-Rockets game drew the largest overnight rating. It was LeBron James' purple and gold debut at the Staples Center. But by the end, all anyone was talking about was the brawl that erupted after Brandon Ingram shoved James Harden and Rajon Rondo spit on Chris Paul. Rondo's girlfriend allegedly even confronted Paul's wife. Why the fuck you do that? I don't know. Players were ejected and later suspended. Ingram got 4 games. Chris Paul and Rondo got 3 games, I think. But
Rajon Rondo punched Chris Paul right in the dome.
And Chris Paul threw an uppercut. He got that one in. Like, it was kind of fisty cuffs being thrown. It was
old school basketball. It was good old school basketball. Let them beat each other to death. Let them beat each other off to death. Damn it. Wait, that's wrong.
Bustin never felt so good. I hadn't seen a fight like this in a long time. But anyway, I'm sure everyone's seen it. It's nothing new. Go back, watch it if you haven't. But this is where it gets interesting. This is the interesting part of the story. The players weren't the only ones to get heated. Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis, who was there with longtime Lakers fan Flea, was allegedly tossed from the game as well for cursing out Chris Paul as he was being escorted back to the locker room.
Wow.
Now, the Lake Show always attracts celebrities. Other people who were there was Floyd Mayweather. Nipsey Hussle was also courtside, as well as Travis Scott. I wrote some initials here, but I don't really remember what that meant.
Yeah, RHCP. Who's that? Ricky Haugen and Carl Provitt. You know, those two.
It's Red Hot Chili Peppers, dummy.
Oh, duh! Oh, duh!
Oh, man. Back to the lecture at hand. I saw this video of Anthony Kiedis, like, flipping off Chris Paul. Like, why? Why?
Wow.
I was thinking on a celebrity status.
Maybe Chris Paul was like, wish I saw that scar tissue. And then Anthony Kiedis was like, scar tissue that I wish you saw. You know, maybe that was happened. Set the whole thing off.
He's like, dream of Californication.
Yeah. That, he's like just singing at it. They're like, you got to go, man.
Yo, Anthony Kiedis is an older guy. One, like, why do you want the smoke with Chris Paul? I don't know. Don't get it. But it was very interesting to see him get thrown out of. It's always funny when you see a celebrity get thrown out of a game for something like that. For no real reason.
Get out of here.
Because the guy, it's not like the guy was drunk. He's sober, right? Isn't he supposed to be sober?
Yeah, he was just saying bad, naughty words. And they said, you gotta go.
Anyway, what, you get spit in your face, what are you going to do? You're gonna mush your finger in that person's face, right?
You got to put your fingers in their eyeballs.
Yeah.
Or tell a lie so that their nose grows.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Thanks for the lob, Chris. Speaking of noses that grows, Guillermo del Toro and Netflix have announced news that he's going to be doing Pinocchio!
Pinocchio!
That's Spanish for Pinocchio. Which I've actually, in my Spanish class, we actually watched that show, and that's like the only thing I remember. Shout out to Senora Menti.
You know, Geppetto. That's clearly Spanish name.
But it was just funny because, like, I remember what. Going into the while I'm, she was like, we're gonna watch a movie today, and she was like, we're gonna be watching Pinocchio, and I was like, damn, they really twisted
you're
that
really
word.
Buying into this thing for $12 Pinocchio. An hour.
Anyway, it was fun.
Sorry, teachers are great. My mom's a teacher.
Love Shout you, out to teachers. Keep blowing the air horn. There's too much air horn. We gotta slow down.
Slow down.
Knock it off with the air horn.
All right. Netflix announced the news about Del Toro's Pinocchio via press release and further confirmed that Jim Henson Company and Shadow Machine, who do BoJack Horseman, are co-producing the film. In addition to being a musical, Del Toro's Pinocchio takes place in Italy under Benito Mussolini's fascist regime and described as follows in the original statement that Del Toro released as a part of Netflix announcement. No art form has influenced my life and my work more than animation, and no character in history has had a deep personal connection to me as Pinocchio. In our story, Pinocchio is an innocent soul with an uncaring father who gets lost in the world he cannot comprehend. He embarks on an extraordinary journey that leaves him with a deep understanding of his father and the real world. I've wanted to make this movie for as long as I can remember. Now, we all know he's going to have a dark twist on this. He's coming fresh off of The Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. Which was an award winner. Smash.
Big time.
Definitely a splash. Seeing Pinocchio in kind of a dark frame. And it's also, I failed to mention that this is stop motion animation. That's even be cooler.
Yes, this will be full on. This will be really beautiful for sure.
You can see, though, the images on the internet of kind of a set of the characters of Geppetto and Pinocchio. And they look mean, man. They look tight. I like them.
Yeah, a lot of sharp features. A lot of like elongated features. Nothing round and happy. More just kind of like that. That's, you know, the style. If you've ever seen anything by Guillermo del Toro, he just has a way of... He's in his lane when he's doing fables or fantasy or fairy tales, and he always puts this kind of twist on them that doesn't necessarily make them dark, evil characters, but just more not so friendly and approachable, more like
right.
humans in fairy tale form, really. They're sharp and pokey and, you know, kind of all over the place.
I've got no strings on me. That was also in the Age of Ultron. Anyway, speaking of Ultron and things that go Marvel. can't flip the pages. But Marvel's going hip-hop once again. But for real this time, Marvel has been killing it with their hip-hop variants of comic book covers for years.
Huh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And I know, shout out to my man, Derek Panda, if he ever listens to the show. I don't know if he does, but he's a friend of mine. Known him for a long time. Who collects, he's got all of the hip-hop covers, which is dope. Big hip-hop kid. Love him. Anyway, back to the story. They're taking classic rap albums and placing their heroes and villains on them to great effect. Now they're taking it a step further, and they've partnered with UME's Urban Legends label, releasing Marvel variants of the classic records on vinyl. So, to kick off the series, Urban Legends will release 3 LPs with the variant covers in December, this December. But it's going to be 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Tryin', which has Iron Man on it.
Okay.
Which is actually, so it's got that bullet hole, but like it's Iron Man instead of 50.
Right.
GZA's Liquid Swords, which is another classic record. I forget who's on. I think it's Iron Man again.
It's Iron Man and the Immortal Hulk.
And the Immortal Hulk, that's right. Iron Man and the Immortal Hulk. And then the classic record, LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, which has the Punisher on it.
Let me guess, Iron Man.
No, it's Punisher.
Ooh.
So there's two versions. They're pretty expensive. I think the deluxe version, which gives you like the colored vinyl and blah, 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 some extra stuff, is like $60. And then the other one, and the other one's like $40 for each. So at first I was like, oh man, I got to get all of them. But then I was like, not going to do that.
Ooh, a little steep for my pockets.
Yeah, I don't even have a record player anymore. So yeah, I actually have a box of vinyl in Idaho, Chris.
Really?
Yeah.
Just sitting here, huh?
Just warped in a storage unit.
Just warped.
I'm excited about this. And if they,
that's cool. That's a cool little promotion they do. A little, cool, little extra bingo. Hey, look at this. Look over here. Something shiny. Pay us money. Give us money.
Yeah, no, I think this is dope. For some reason, there's always been a connection with hip hop and comic books. Me as a rapper and in the comic books, so this speaks to me to the fullest. Definitely gonna try and pick up this 50 Cent record. There's only 3,000 for each copy, so it's limited edition. It's a dope thing to have. Frame a little piece of artwork or play it if you're in Brooklyn. You know, hipster stuff. Speaking of cool shit that's limited.
Sweet Christmas.
Man, I didn't see this coming, but they canceled Luke Cage. Did you see that? Did you see this coming? So they announced Iron Fist. We talked about that last week.
Yes, we did. Iron Fist canceled. Boom. It was the worst of the four. Gone.
But now they canceled Luke Cage. And according to the...
This really caught me off guard because the other three... if you put Punisher in there, their other four titles are six.
Six total. They canceled two. And then this is the third one they've canceled.
What else did they cancel?
Defenders.
Oh, well, Defenders, whatever. Of the four, I'm counting Punisher, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Iron Fist was by far, even with improvements to season two, the weakest. Luke Cage is one of the best. I mean, it was a great show, even if the second season wasn't as great. And it's just gone. It's gone!
Yeah, according to a report from The Hollywood Reporter, a source claims that the series was canceled for numerous reasons. One has to do with creative differences, though it's not clear if it is between the showrunner, Chio Coker?
Chio Coker, is that you old sandbagging son of a bitch?
and Marvel TV, or between Netflix and Marvel. Another reason is that the two entities could not agree on the terms for the third season. Look, there's lots to be speculated about all this.
There's a great bit. I'm not going to, if there was somebody near me right now that wanted to put a point out, I would say that, that this is a great thing, but I don't know how the logistics work on it. Isn't it convenient that Disney's starting their own streaming service soon? Like they would cancel these so that they could bring them on board on their own. But then I think you're dealing with IP problems and you can't have the same show or maybe it's even the same actors. It has to be a different kind of franchising. I don't know how contracts work.
Netflix took over the Mark Millar stuff. So, and they own that. So they have a lot more say. They don't have to deal with Marvel.
Interesting.
They're probably interesting. And I know they're trying to dump more money into their projects. And with Disney moving towards their own service, I think Netflix is kind of like, we're gonna just ride it out, and when we see a pocket to cancel, we're gonna nothing really makes sense to move forward at this point for them, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're gonna renew another season of Daredevil, season 4. I think season 3 is actually starting off pretty well, everything that I've heard and seen. But Jessica Jones is next, man. I don't think.
And then what? Daredevil's just gonna follow it? They'll just kick Daredevil.
I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna just maybe they'll give Daredevil one more season and just close it out.
Wow! If you haven't had a chance to watch these shows, I know we're talking about them being canceled. They're really solid. Daredevil, especially, just is in season 3. It's getting a lot of great reviews for a lot of things they're doing. Jessica Jones is a great show. Luke Cage, great show. Now you don't really have to watch Defenders or Iron Fist.
Another thing that has been circulating too, I've noticed it myself, but didn't really pay it no mind. But they're not really pushing Daredevil either. Like, it's usually when that thing comes up, it's like, boom, it's first thing on the screen.
Yeah, I didn't actually know it had launched. Like, yeah. It was just one of those things I was like, and the same thing happened last time with Luke Cage when season 2 even dropped. I was like, oh, cool, there's a little promo for it. Like, I had no idea it was already out. So it is a weird thing.
And obviously, same with Iron Fist. So it's like, they're not.
Those first seasons, they were just like,
oh, yeah, you're going to fucking love it.
And they were just like in your face. Like, even when I turned the TV off, it would like turn itself back on to tell me to watch Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it would just freeze up your TV and there's nothing you could do about it.
You pick anything else. Like, I want to watch Diners, Drives, and Dives, and I'd click it and they'd be like, you want to watch Jessica Jones? Sweet!
A lot of people are speculating that they're going to try and do a Heroes for Hire, but I think when they canceled both of them at this point, I think we're done.
Yeah.
But maybe, it does knows? Make...
They always like to surprise us, those sons of bitches.
And all the fans would love to speculate that, oh, it must be because of the snap. Thanos killed them.
They're gone. They're dead because of this snap.
Yeah, it makes fun. It makes a good story. Speaking of good stories, this is our last story for the new segment.
Ooh, we'll run through it really quick. Huh?
Chris, I saw this story and I immediately thought of you and I was like, this is fucking dope. I called this story Fast Pass and I was just to throw Chris off. Ooh. And Chris, you have like you said earlier, you have a Disneyland trip coming up.
Yarp.
So get this. Couple hits 6 Disney parks in a single day. Did you hear about this?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. It was all over my news feed.
This was I was like, yo, this is dope. I actually saw old school status on a newspaper Saturday morning.
It is amazing. I mean, they visit 6 Disney parks that are on opposite coasts in one day, on two coasts in one
day. Yeah, so the couple... Heather and Clark Esminger?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Anyway,
Esminger-ner-ner-ders.
So they ended up hitting right when the park opened at Walt Disney World. They started at 7 a.m.
Perfect. Got to get that magic hour.
Ran through the whole, four parks at Disney World.
Yep.
Jumped on a plane. It's like a 6-hour flight.
Yep.
Then they sat in an hour of traffic, hit up California first.
Stressful.
Hit up California, but there's also you gain time, so you kind of hit this time loop.
You're going back in time 3 hours. That helps.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're going back in time 3 hours. And then they leave the park at 11:30, and they sat down on a bench on Main Street. Actually, before they left the park. We took 5, and this is what they said. We took 5 minutes just to look at each other and say, wow, we did it. What a great day. That's dope. I got to get a round of applause for them. Because that's amazing. That's great.
It's an amazing feat. It's one of those things that I feel like, this is no way like digging at them, I think. But like that's like one of those things that you just put on a list and you just do because I guess you can. Or because like you're like, you know, it'd be really cool. Is if we did this, or I'm not saying they did for publicity, or it's just like you're just doing it because you're like, hey, I bet no one's ever done that before. Let's try and do that. Or it's going to be a thing that a lot of people are going to try and do. But it's just like, you know, the people that try and ride every single ride in a day and see all the like that are meticulous about how they plan things out. It's super, super cool. And it's a fun, like bucket list type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, no one really knows what they were doing it for or why they were doing it.
Yeah, just for fun, I'm guessing.
I think just for the challenge, maybe even. But yeah,
let's see if we can do it.
But they ended up getting their phones were blowing up with calls from radio stations and TV outlets and newspapers wanting to know about the journey. And then a camera crew from Walt Disney World publicity office tracked them down for an interview, and they were stopped by Disney guests who recognized them from various media reports. So, like, while mm-hmm. they're doing this, people are, like, which is even crazy, because, like, how do you know, like, it's not like they, like, did they announce this? Like, hey, we're going to try this. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I actually saw a news article that was setting up the attempt, were going to attempt to do this. So I don't know if they, you know, talked to someone or put a media thing out or God mm-hmm. knows what, but they definitely put something out into the universe.
Is it possible to hit all the parks in one day?
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, you mean all the parks?
I'm talking all the Disney parks.
All the major ones? No. Because you're going the wrong way with...
If you start in Tokyo, then you go backwards.
You'd have to start in Tokyo, go to both parks, get into your thing, go to Shanghai to all three parks, stop in Paris, ride the hour train to get to that part, those two parks,
mm-hmm.
get back in, fly to Orlando.
That's where the kicker is.
Do those four.
Paris to
Orlando?
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough time, even with the time change, because yes, you are going back in time a whole day, or I guess 20 hours, 18 hours, but I don't think it would make up for the loss. Maybe. It would cost you about 10 grand.
Sounds like a Kickstarter to me.
Looks like a Kickstarter. Hey, listen.
Or a GoFundMe.
If we start a Kickstarter, we get 10 grand, we'll attempt it. How's that sound?
Yo, I'm in. We have to try.
All right. Set up the Kickstarter, and we'll see if we can do it. We're going to say, you know what? Fuck the Ishkmagers. We're going to do it better.
Yes. If you have the money, I think you could do it, because you could just charter private jets.
What are their names? Tom and Lori. I don't know if that's names. Heather. We'll just have strict to say, fuck you, Heather and Tommy.
Heather and Clark.
Heather and Clark.
Yeah.
Just totally ragging on America's sweethearts.
Boom! Hit all the parks in 20 hours. Eat a dick!
This is the dub show.
Clark and Heather! Anyway, congrats to them.
Congrats.
That's an amazing feat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why you did it, but sure. Great. Good on you.
Good on you.
Looking at the rolly, it's about that time.
For the next half hour, we will control what you see and hear. You are about to experience the terror and foul horror of The Simpsons Halloween Special.
Chris, I feel like we have somebody else here, right?
Yes, we do.
You're going to understand in a minute.
You'll understand why, you, the listener at home, of course, the royal we. We have brought in a special guest to help us today. An absolute wonderful, huge, I'm going to spoil it, huge fan of The Simpsons. One of the greatest guys I've ever known in my whole life. He is also the author of The Rise and Fall of Krusty Burger, Springfield, A History. And we all read it. Troy McClure, The Untold Story. Available at any Barnes & Noble. Some of the things I just said are true. Some of them are false. I'll let you deduce. So Joe is here. Say hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, what up, Joe?
Yay.
People are actually going to go look for those
books
now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I am not a writer.
Could you imagine a guy walks into Barnes & Noble? I'm looking for Troy McClure, The Untold Story.
I'm literally mid-Google right now. I'm not going to lie.
Do these exist?
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Oh shit!
Patent pending.
Wait, did he say Troy McClure? Yeah. You might know me from books such as.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You might recognize him from such books as. Tell him, set us up now for our main topic tonight. What are we going to be talking about that we need someone with this much passion?
Today we're talking, this is actually, I believe, our second episode on this, but we're talking about Treehouse of Horror, The Simpsons Halloween specials. We're running down our favorites. This is one of my favorite things to look forward to every year.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like an event every year.
Every year.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, a huge buildup every year for it.
And from what I've gathered, it goes off and on. But for those who don't know, and also been living under a rock for the last 30 plus years, The Simpsons is a cartoon on Fox. In case you didn't know. But every year they do a Halloween episode. Usually it's their season premiere. Sometimes it's fallen in November, I believe, one year. But usually this is how they start the season. And it's like an epic, pretty epic rollout. Like, it's always the
is that true? It's the season premiere
on several seasons. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Especially as the seasons got later and they started pushing it back.
They were like, "Hey, we know how people are gonna be excited for this thing. Let's start it off with this big."
Yeah, yeah. And I think with since people are not as into the show as they once were, it also helps the build up for that. I actually just saw season 30's Treehouse of Horrors horror last night.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was okay. They always do the parody of like classic horror movies or other things like that, and it's always good. It's always fun.
I want to take a step. I want to ask Joe, because we obviously know how like you said at the very beginning, this is a very divided podcast. You've been watching your whole life, Joe. I don't know if you still keep up on the most recent stuff, but what do you think about the show? What do you think about where it's gone?
So, yeah, it's like Simpsons fans are always divided into like classic Simpsons and then like new Simpsons. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely in the classic, mm-hmm. like area. I'm probably more on the side of Chris, where I probably stopped watching around season like 15, 16. And I'll catch an episode, like a newer episode every once in a while. Just doesn't have that same... I don't know. It doesn't have that same appeal to me, but that's probably just because I took such a long hiatus on it.
I mean, to be honest, Simpsons doesn't have that edge like it once was, because it came up, you know, around a time period of like Married with Children, and like Fox took a risk on all these shows who were really pushing the envelope. And that envelope that the Simpsons were pushing is not even they're not even close to that anymore. They're just a, you know, Family Guy's come and gone or whatever.
I think they still make it.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. You're bringing up a really good point. It's almost like like some sort of weird survivor syndrome where it used to push like kids. I remember not being like, I was kind of one of them when I was young, like not allowed to watch The Simpsons because it was a little too racy.
Right.
And then it's like the rest of what we are okay with seeing on television blew past that and became things like, you know, like goddamn Family Guy and just some really dark, intense humor. And Simpsons kind of just kept staying the course. And, you know, you can say what you want. I'm sure in all those seasons, I'm sure if I just watched all of season 22, I'm sure there'd be episodes I would enjoy. But it's just not like, and maybe it's just also being a kid. I remember looking finally back and being like, wow, season 6 had this one. Season 7 had this, season 4, like stuff like that. So it's tough.
I think they don't feel the same either. I think, and I've always said this about reboots or when shows change, there's always like, it's the most dangerous thing in the world to mess with people's nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. If The Simpsons doesn't feel the same now, then like, I'm just not going to be able to like it nearly as much as when I was a kid. I mean, it's like, you know, when you reboot Ghostbusters with an all-female cast, it doesn't feel the same. People hated it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's not even like what Joe's saying. That's right. People were actually excited about the cast itself. But then when you watch the movie, you're kind of like, well, this doesn't even look like they had all this opportunity to make it like old Ghostbusters.
And that's a good point. Yeah, I don't want to disparage the cast. I love the cast.
But then the movie itself was like, we talked about this a lot, Brad, weirdly colorful and strange humor and too light and bright. And it just shook people.
It didn't feel the same.
Yeah, and it's like, that's a great point about reboots, though. That is true. They'll do a reboot, and a really good reboot is one, I mean, hell, we see it with this Halloween movie we talk about in Splash, Trash, or Meh. How the fact that it gets a pretty good score and it's pretty enjoyable because it went back to the shit that made the first one so good and so iconic.
Yeah.
And you could look at this at a lot of things, but for The Simpsons, in its defense, or my argument, I guess, would say, like, there's a pocket of time where people walked away from it, not because they didn't like the show anymore, not because they didn't think it was funny, but life got in the way.
Yeah, and you just like grew up.
You grew up, and like it wasn't really cool to watch cartoons, so you kind of took a step back. So when you came back to it, it didn't have that same feel. But at the same time, it progressed with time. It has its pocket; otherwise, it still wouldn't be on the air, right? So it's still there.
Yeah, absolutely,
that's true.
Yeah,
but if you go back and you look at things like Power Rangers or X-Men, the animated series. Even Batman the Animated Series, you're gonna find I came back, and obviously I've been watching the Power Rangers series a lot lately, and I'm like, man, this show is terrible. But I stepped away from it from when I loved it as a kid, and now I'm such a critic on things, like I see right through it. somehow they've been able to regenerate themselves every, like, or not the big extravaganza that they once had, but they're still the longest running sitcom on television. So
that's true. They're doing something right.
They're able to capture a new audience. It may not be the original audience, but they still look, if they dropped a movie next year, I guarantee both of you would go see it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So
hell yeah.
So I think that, but I agree with you guys. I think instead of staying true to their roots and like pushing the envelope, they adapted to the times. So and found their pocket. Even today is like kind of sensitive, more sensitive now. So the whole Apu thing was like a.
No, it was big, true. That was the, yeah, that makes cultural waves.
Well, and also think about the fact for 30 years, think about how many different writers and different tones that's going to be over a 30
exactly.
year process.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
People move on, people grow, and that's just, you know, they got to do what they can. But there's still like all those voice actors are getting millions of dollars per episode. So.
They're crazy. Definitely set themselves up for a nice life. That's a good career.
They're not hurting.
Yeah, they're not. They're definitely not hurting. So now that the case for The Simpsons is rested and the jury's out.
The jury's out. Let's talk about
out to lunch. Let's talk about what people are jacked about, which is the Halloween episodes.
Yes. So today we're going to talk about like each Halloween episode, the Treehouse of Horror. Usually there's three segments of the show. One, and they're all different little stories all in the same 30-minute episode. So we're going to go down. The way I say we do this, do you guys have any honorable mentions before you want to name your top three?
No, let's just do top three. That sounds really good. Let's not tease them. Let's just dive in.
All right. Well, I'm
give them what they came here for, boys.
I do have some honorable mentions, but I'm going to...
Oh, great. Here comes Brad. Here comes Ratley Bastard or whatever your name is.
I'll
what are your honorable mentions? Hit us.
No, I'll save those for the end because they may be on your list. They may be on your list, and I don't want to.
I see what you're doing. You don't want to spoil the fun.
Right. So let's start with our guests. Number three.
Okay, so we're just talking about the segments, not the overall episodes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My number three and two of my three are in the same Treehouse of Horrors, but the Genesis tub, the one where Lisa creates the tiny civilization.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the Buzz Cola. I don't know what it is about that. I mean, I just love that one, especially when they shrink her down and Professor Frink does the whole, like, that would require a rebigulator.
The idea of which is laughable.
Yeah. Well, that one, because I believe that's loosely based on an old Twilight Zone, like so many of the other Treehouse of Horrors, but it's based on like an old Twilight Zone episode from like the 1970s.
Which is classic Twilight Zone. I love that show.
I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan.
And then Bart comes in and just like murders everybody.
Yeah, Bart comes in, murders everybody. They evolve really, really quick. and then he ends up, he wins the science fair with it. And then they like, Willy goes through and throws away everyone else's science project.
Yeah.
Because Bart's is the best.
They had some dark stuff in there always, but that's what made it fun.
Yeah, so that was back actually... in season 7?
That would be...
season 8. Season
Yeah, Treehouse of Horror 7, so season 8.
Oh,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Because the first season of the show, there was no Treehouse of Horrors episode,
no,
because right?
The first season, they started on a Christmas episode.
Right, Santa's Little Helper episode.
They're the one where they get Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah. It was supposed to be just a one show, or one Christmas special, and that was it, and then it turned into a full-fledged series.
30-year Christmas
Yeah, that's
show.
When it became like an argument, I think, on like if there were 300 episodes or 301 when they did the 300th episode.
Oh, right.
Because like, did that count as an episode or was that a special?
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
Chris, what is your number three?
But I don't remember the name of it because I'm really bad at this, but where Homer's falling through different dimensions.
Homer Cubed.
No, is that the one with the hand in the toaster?
Oh, that's, I don't remember the name of that one.
He gets his hand stuck in the toaster, and then he's going through different dimensions, and, like, things are different every time different, you know, universes, when something's different every time when he comes back.
I can't put my finger on this one. You stumped
toaster,
me.
Toaster, treehouse. Hold on. It's worth a Google. So it is in Treehouse of Horrors 5. And it is called...
Time and Punishment?
Time and Punishment. where at breakfast, Homer gets his hand stuck in the toaster, and he gets his hand stuck, and he's freaking out about it, and then he gets it out. He's like, oh, my hand's... And he's, like, really panicked, gets it out, and then Lisa just goes, Dad, your hand's in the toaster again! Ah! Ah! But basically, yeah, it's him, like, going through different things where it kind of... I think it's based, like, on what's that called? I'm trying not to read this thing. It's in front of me, so I don't ruin it, but Sound of Thunder or whatever, because, like, he messed something up, and so he goes back to prehistoric times, and then he changes history on accident, so then he's falling through. And by the end of it, he goes to I love it because he leaves one reality, and as soon as he leaves, it starts raining, but it's raining donuts, so it would have been, like, perfect for him. And he thinks he gets back to his perfect reality, and then and then everybody's sitting around the dinner table, and they start eating with their forked tongues that shoot out like a frog and eat their food, and he's like, close enough. I love that one. Dad, your hand's in the toaster again. Ah!
And that one, too. I was like, I love the moment because that's the Treehouse of Horrors where Willie gets hit in the back with an axe in each segment. But I love the Maggie part when James Earl Jones does the voice of Maggie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What does she say? What's the line?
Something about, like, this is a very disturbing universe.
Strange, disturbing universe. Something like that.
Yeah. So my number three, Ghost Dad, which took place in a... Treehouse of Horrors 11, season 12. In this episode, they basically parodied the movie starring Bill Cosby.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yes.
Check your drinks.
We'll take a moment to check our drinks. But Homer leaves for work. He reads a horoscope, and it tells him that he's going to die today. And as he goes to work, all these things happen to him where, like, a crane crashes a car. He meets Lenny and Carl, and they're like, that's quite a snake that's bitten to your arm. And he's like shaking his arm. Oh, yeah. Like, he goes through all these things that should have definitely killed him. And then he dies by eating a piece of broccoli. And so he comes back as a ghost, and he just starts playing different things. And he sees, like, Bart being bullied and then by Nelson. He helps Principal Skinner's mother cross the road, but she doesn't know that someone's helping her because his goal... As he got to heaven, he had like 24 hours to do a good deed to help him get into heaven. And he ate broccoli the minute he got back on Earth. And he's like, ate the piece of broccoli again. And he's like, you have 23 hours. And they send him back down. And in the end, he gets sent to hell where Satan puts Homer in a headlock and gives him a noogie for eternity.
Yes, that, I know that. This line, like, I didn't know where that came from, but I was looking at it right now in this episode. But that is where he's giving the devil's giving... Homer the Noogie screaming. He says, quiet, you wake up John Wayne.
That's right.
I'm already awake.
Yeah.
Number two, Joe.
Number two, I'm going to go, and I hope I'm not stealing anyone's number one.
You probably are stealing.
My number two is Citizen Kang, which is the Bill Clinton and Bob Dole episode.
Where I love this episode.
So basically, if you haven't not seen the episode, you should. Homer gets abducted by aliens, Kang and Kodos, and then they kidnap Bill Clinton and Bob Dole and transform themselves into the presidential candidates so that they get elected president.
This was around the time that they were this was this a was real
the,
presidential.
It was the
election.
Same, yeah. It was the same year, and it was like it was only like a week, or it was literally like 1 week before the election.
Wow, yeah. Bob Dole. Yeah.
Bob Dole doesn't need this. I love the part too. Homer can't find the spaceship, or nobody believes him. He walks up and he kicks like that small shrub, and then it pans out, and it's like the whole spaceship is behind it. Yeah, but he couldn't see it.
That's a great. That's a classic one.
That's another thing too. It's got that political edge to it, kind of too.
Well, it doesn't have the political part to. Well, it's kind of like political satire because they just say stupid shit, and like everybody still votes for him. But it's got the best speech when Kang is. Or I don't remember which one's which, but when he's as President Clinton, where he goes, they're doing the town hall debate, and he's, we must go forwards, not backwards, upwards, not forwards, and always twirling towards freedom.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great episode, actually. I forgot about that episode. That's a good one. I'm going to throw the air horn on that one. Chris, number two.
My number two is going to be... I actually really like Lisa's Dream. It's the one with the monkey paw. It's actually from Treehouse of Horrors 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's that, like the whole be careful what you wish for thing? And that monkey paw is a really famous story where you get a monkey paw and it gives you 5 wishes. And every time you make a wish, one of the fingers closes. It's funny. The reason I'm saying this was my number 2 is just because, like, there's been so many Treehouse of Horror segments. And I vividly remember this one. I don't even know any funny moments from it, I don't think, that are standing out.
The best moment from that one is the, like, they try to do that trope where Homer turns around and, like, something's not there.
Yeah.
Like, something was just there. But he goes, oh, he's like, I bought it from that stand right over there. And it pans and, like, it there's disappears. Nothing there. And yeah, then he goes, oh, no, he's over there.
Oh, yeah, and it just pans over and he's right there. And,
the guy, yeah. like, the guy who sold it does the, you'll be sorry.
You'll be sorry.
Yeah. The weird-looking dude. Doesn't he have, like, a big eye?
You
have a big eye?
Yeah, he's got like one big eye and one small eye. Yeah, very, I don't know, just creepy looking.
That's funny. Yes, that's my number 2.
That's a
and
good
I know I missed some good ones in there. There's a lot of good ones, but I know what my number 1 is for sure. So what about you, Red?
My number 2 for me is Terror at 5.5 feet. This is definitely a Twilight Zone parody. I believe it's part of the movie. Bart's on the bus and he sees a gremlin on the bus. He's like already in trouble to begin with, but he's trying to convince people that there's obviously dangers on the bus. There's a gremlin on the bus, blah, 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 and making a big scene. But one of the funniest parts of this episode is that Martin is wearing a shirt that says Wang Computers. And he's like, good, something to draw the attention away from my shirt. And Bart's like, there's something on the side of the bus. And everybody, actually, I believe this is a Twilight Zone episode. Then they made it a movie because I think William Shatner.
So yeah, the original
Jimmy Stewart did this, I'm pretty sure.
So William Shatner's
the episode in the original
Twilight
episode.
Zone.
Oh, in the original
Twilight Zone is Shatner. And then actually John Lithgow
did
it when they made the Twilight Zone movie. So yeah. it's terror at 10,000 feet, I think.
The movie, it's just called Twilight Zone, the movie. But
Twilight Zone, the movie 20,000, is broken into 20,000. 3 stories.
At 20,000
feet. 20,000
feet. 20,000
feet. Is it terror at 20,000 feet?
Nightmare at 20,000 feet.
Nightmare, thank you. Yeah. It's probably like top 5 most classic memorable Twilight Zone episodes, which is why they picked
something
it
on the wing. And obviously they made
something.
Yeah, they obviously Jim Carrey made fun of it in Ace Ventura. Mm. There's another scene where Bart goes up to Otto and he's like, there's a gremlin on the side of the bus. And Otto looks out to the left and he's like, oh, I'll handle it. And like drives Mole Man off the road. He's like, oh, I just paid last payment.
Yeah,
and he goes off to the road
in a gremlin car.
But like he taps the tree. And it's just the whole car explodes.
Just explodes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. There's so many great moments. Damn it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. That's my number 2. Number 1. Let's hear it, Joe.
All right. Number 1 for me, and for one scene mainly, but my favorite one of all time was The Devil and Homer Simpson, which is the one where Homer sells his soul.
Season 5. Same episode I was talking about with Terror.
Terror at 5.5 feet.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, this one scene was the funniest scene I ever remember, like from The Simpsons. And being as a kid, of course. But it was the one where Homer has to spend. So if you've never seen the episode, Homer sells his soul for a donut.
Yeah.
And then when he finishes the donut, Marge convinces him that he gets to have a trial, but Homer has to spend the day in hell. So he gets sent to hell, but they put him in the ironic punishment division. And so he's got like this demon there, and he goes, so you like donuts? Well, how about have all the donuts in the world? And like he starts feeding him donuts just nonstop, and it cuts to the scene later, and like Homer finishes all the donuts, and he's asking for more. And like the demon's really frustrated.
What? It's impossible.
And then of course, you guys read my letter. Like I wrote an email to you guys a while back, and you read this on the show. My favorite side characters of The Simpsons were always Lionel Hutz and Troy McClure.
Oh, yeah.
But Troy McClure is the one representing Homer
at the trial.
At the trial, and he walks in and goes, Mr. Simpson, don't worry. I watched Matlock in a bar last night. The sound wasn't on, but I caught the gist of it.
I remember that.
They were great characters. We lost a lot of things when we lost Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Shout out to Phil Hartman.
The sound was off, but I got the gist.
He was such a shitty lawyer, but he was so funny.
So good.
Well, in the 156 episode, you know, they did like that special episode. It was 136, 156.
It's like an arbitrary number.
They showed some of the scenes that they cut from that particular part. And one of them was in the whole thing, Lionel Hutz runs away because he like totally gives up the case off the bat. So when they end up winning, but on his business card originally, it was win your case in 30 minutes or your pizza's free. and so he comes back. He comes back and he said, "Well, Mrs. Simpson, sorry we didn't win your case, but here's your pizza." And she goes, "Mr. Hutz, we won. That's okay. The box is empty."
Oh, great characters.
Oh, that's a class. He was so witty on all the time, especially even as Troy McClure. Oh, well, man.
And that was that number, was that Treehouse of Horror 4 or 5? Was that going into season 5?
It's number 4, but season 5.
Season 5. And I felt like when The Simpsons really took off was like season 5 is when they really took off.
Yeah.
5, 6, 7, right?
5, 6, 7,
you get
yeah.
some of the, but we talked about it before, Brad, but I mean, some of the best episodes are in that stretch. Like you're getting like the Beer Baron.
You're getting the Beer Baron. You're getting Fear of Flying.
Oh.
You're getting Radioactive Man.
Oh,
yeah.
There's really, that's a great stretch right there.
So
that's
many
a,
good
that's
ones,
a, yeah. That's a huge pocket.
So I know we're shaking things up, but like we were just talking about it. And an honorable mention, but I'm going to say my number one, my honorable mention for one reason. One of my honorable mentions is Hell to Pay, where Homer gets, where Snake, the like criminal character, gets killed, I think. And so Homer gets a hair transplant and gets a toupee of Snake's head, and it possesses him. And it is one of my favorites because Homer goes into Quickie Mart, and then the next day they're watching the news or whatever, later that night, and it's like, in other news, a Quickie Mart employee was brutally murdered tonight. Let's go to the scene. And then it's Chief Wiggum, and he's drinking a squishy, and he's like, "Yeah, from what we can tell, it looks like the victim didn't suffer." And it pans out to Lou, and he's like, "Looks like he suffered to me, Chief." And you can see that Apu has been jammed into the squishy machine, so his legs are just sticking out. And he's like, "Ah, geez, Lou, how long are you gonna let me drink this thing?" And he takes another drink. It's one of my, the whole, like, that, those minute or whatever is just perfect timing in every way.
Yes, well, and that's a good one. I forgot about that one.
And the Kent Brockman lead-in, too, where the story, where he's like, "And that kitten played with that ball of string all through the night." On a lighter note.
On a lighter note, a Quickie Mart employee was brutally murdered. that's a great joke. My favorite, though, and I'm so glad no one said it because it is hands down my favorite. But that's why hands down my favorite. I know the title of it because I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. Clown Without Pity. One where Homer goes to buy a gift for Bart and he buys him a Krusty doll. We pull the string on its back and it says a fun little thing, whatever. And it turns out that the doll is evil and so it's trying to kill Homer.
Wait, what'd you say it was called?
Clown Without Pity. It's from Treehouse of Horrors 3.
That's actually on my list, but I
think
that
as a complete story segment, it has good humor through the whole thing, but also
the ending is the best though.
The ending is so good. The start when he gets the doll has one of the greatest jokes ever, where he's like, the guy at the store is trying to warn him about it by telling him what's good and what's bad, and he's like, "Oh yeah, the doll is this and this and this." That and Homer's like, "Ooh," and then he says, "But it comes with a terrible curse." Oh, but you get a free froyo with purchase. The froyo has sprinkles on. Or he says something. And he's like, "The froyo has sprinkles on it." Ooh,
it's Frogurt. Froger.
Froger, yeah, that's Froger right. Has sprinkles on it. Ooh, the sprinkles have sodium benzoate in them. And then Homer's dead silent, and he's like, "That's bad."
That's bad.
Oh, I just think that it has good humor. But like I was going to say, one thing for me, I like when a Halloween episode or, just like that, a Halloween episode has an element that is a little scary or a little unnerving, or like they actually dip that, they find that perfect balance between something scary and something that's just funny. That's why, like, I bring this up in our podcast more than I should, but there's a Halloween episode in, like, season 5 of Boy Meets World that's a really good episode because it's like a slasher meets Boy Meets World humor, and I love that. And this one for me is that, because I remember actually watching this episode and being a little scared of the Krusty doll, like how he pops up in the bathtub and he's got a spear to kill Homer. How he's like, when the repairman gets there at the end and you find out this is the
oh yeah, here's your problem.
Yeah, here's your problem. It looks like somebody set this thing to evil, and on the back of the doll he just flips it to good, and then it's a good. But I just love how that guy even shows up and opens the door, and it pans over and the Krusty doll is on Homer's face, pulling his tongue up and down out of his mouth. Like, it's the little story that made me feel like that's messed up. Like, if you had a doll that was evil, kind of like, I mean, it's definitely a Chucky type. I mean, that's what it's playing off of. But I always love that one. I go back to the jokes. I think it's hilarious. That's my number one.
That was my my initial number one, but I will flip it to my other number one. This one is in the first Treehouse of Horrors, number one. But I think, hands down, this is one of the most classic. One, because it's historic. The Raven.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a good choice.
This is a classic one for me. Obviously, it goes back with Edgar Allan Poe's poem. But also, James Earl Jones is reading the poem. But it's basically Homer and Bart as the Raven with nevermore
eat my shorts.
Yeah, it's a classic on a classic. So at this point we can say that now, right? It was 30 plus years ago.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
That was gonna be my whatever it's called. I can't think of it now.
That's your number one.
Was gonna be my honorable mention, but I moved it to the number one. And I'm glad.
It's a great blend, that episode. Yeah. It's got a historic story. It follows the poem, but it adds humor to it while bringing in something that's very well known. That's dark gothic. It's really kind of embodies that Halloween. And like you said, James Earl Jones is a narrator. How do you beat voice?
What's funny is I've actually, and I don't really know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I can remember watching the first episode of The Simpsons when it came fresh on the air as a child. And when I saw the Raven episode, like, I was scared. As a child, I was scared, but like, even though I knew it was a funny comedy, it was The Simpsons. Right. But like, it's at that point in my life, in 1990, this was actually October 25th, 1990 is when it aired. I was scared. I'm 5 years old, and this was scary to me. But I was like so in love with Bart. I thought I was Bart Simpson for the longest time. Swear to God. Like, my family was like, oh yeah, that's Bart. He thinks he's Bart Simpson. Like,
yeah, this kid thinks he's Bart. Just let it happen.
Like, I'm sure there was backhanded conversation where like, don't worry, he just thinks he's Bart Simpson, but he's just a kid,
he's
you know.
Let him, he's an okay kid. Let him be dumb. Don't worry.
Yeah. Nah, that's gonna be my number one. But there are so many episodes. And
if you just take out the seasons, I just Googled it. There are 87 Treehouse of Horror segments, like 87 individual segments across 29 years, I guess, since there's 30 seasons, right?
Yep. We're on season 30 now.
29 seasons, 3 segments. I mean, that's insane. There's so many good things. I mean, I'm surprised looking through this list at like, oh, wow, I missed that one. Or, oh, wow, I totally never watched that. I mean, one we didn't even talk about, honorable mention, 2 that we didn't. I remember the Homer Cube. Joe mentioned it earlier, really quick.
That's another
good
one.
That was shaking, not only because it's a funny episode with a couple of funny parts, but also because it did the 3D. In 1985, it put out that 3D Homer and put him in our world. And I remember watching TV to see that and being like, whoa, that was crazy. Another we didn't mention was the one where where Bart finds out he has the twin brother in the attic.
In the attic, that's a great one.
The thing and I. That's the thing and I. That's a great character. Yeah, his lost brother Hugo.
Yeah, that
Hugo.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
I love when Dr. Haver holds up like the frame, like he's, I bet you don't even know what you look like, and holds up the frame and punches him through the
punches
empty
him
frame.
Right through the empty frame. Like, there's things like that. They've spent so much time and they've put so much. There's so many episodes and so many pieces. You're gonna hit a lot of gold ones, and you're gonna hit a lot of, like I said, moments in episodes that are hilarious, like just because, like that toupee, Hell to Pay episode has that one moment that puts that it in my mind forever.
Well, and we didn't even mention, I mean, the number one on this list that we're looking at is The Shining. Yeah, we didn't even touch it, which is such a great episode.
Or even Mr. Burns being Dracula.
Yeah. There's so many. We didn't.
I'm gonna call it.
Just I brought up this list, and I mean, their top five: Dial Z for Zombie, which is a great episode.
Another one.
And then the Shining, which is on there, which is number one. I mean, people love it. But yeah, you're getting Bart Simpson's Dracula, and we didn't do Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace, where Willy is Freddy Krueger.
So
there's just many.
Because there's so many, and because this is we want to continue this show. Joe, I would love to have you back every year where we sit back and just go over each. Well, let's say we watch next year, we'll do part one and we talk all about the first couple seasons of Treehouse of Horror. I think we can just run. I think this would be a great segment.
Hell yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's just.
Oh, absolutely.
Great way That'd to celebrate Halloween. What I say we do is. Maybe we watch the new one next year.
Compare it to the old one.
And then just be like, and we'll touch on some classics that we love that we didn't touch
really,
on today.
You're really whetting everybody's appetite for next year.
Hey. That's what we got to do. We got to keep it, got to keep the momentum shaking, baby. Hey. Joe, you've been awesome, man. Anytime we have a Simpsons show, because we did a Yellow show last year. But anytime we talk Simpsons, man, and if you have any Simpsons news, I would love it if you were the correspondent.
Absolutely, so, man. We'd love to have you back. It's awesome.
If you have anything that comes in, I would love to be like, Chris, and now we're going to Joe, our Simpsons correspondent, for this news.
I love that idea. That's killer. It's happening. Like, everybody on air, it's happening live right now, and it just happened, well, in the past, but it happened.
Yeah. That's how we do it.
As we sit next to each other here.
Here in this small studio.
I feel like we could talk about The Simpsons all day.
This could be a five-hour episode.
It could be, yeah.
Oh, man. We could probably have our own show just about The Simpsons.
Just on this.
Don't count it out just yet. Anybody, Joe, is there anything else you want to plug or let our listeners know?
You know what? I'm all set. I mean,
yeah.
I follow you guys on Instagram.
Woohoo! We got one!
Listen to Splash Trash Man, of course. Check those out.
Heck yeah, he's pumping us right now.
I know. What's up? I'm gonna grill you with this. I'm gonna grill you with this one. Best movie of 2018. Go.
Best movie of 2018? You talking like artistically or like blockbuster?
I'm talking everything.
Everything.
What do you think? This is your opinion question.
Just my opinion, honestly, I have to go with Infinity War. I really think it blew me away this year.
Okay.
So, I mean, just like, it's been such a build-up, and then to actually, like, take that many characters and actually balance the story. And then, you know, I even like the way it ended. Some people were mad that Captain America didn't die or Iron Man didn't die, but it's like, really? You really thought they were going to let him out of their contract for one more?
Yeah. What did you think was going to happen?
That's probably been my number one movie this year.
What's your sleeper pick?
Sleeper pick. Oh man, what have I seen this year? I'm trying to think. Usually I'm really like up to date with all of the, you know, with all of the Oscar worthy movies and all that, but I've been really, really behind this year.
We've also had Black Panther this year.
That's true.
Quiet Place.
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna say Quiet Place was my sleeper pick. I didn't see that movie coming out of anywhere. Like, who would have thought a tiny budget movie with John Krasinski was gonna be that cool?
Yeah, that was a great. That was an amazing movie.
So I also love stories on movies where it's like it's an original idea and they use a small budget and ends up making a ton of money. I just love those stories.
Yeah, that's. Always fun to see, or when you can't tell there was a small budget, like you're like, man, this movie is amazing in every way. Like, oh, and then you look, you're like, damn, they only made this for like $1 million.
Exactly. Shiz.
Yeah, no, it's. I think the other thing too is, as we've done this show, I think it's funny looking back, and Black Panther came out in February. It feels like forever ago.
It's crazy.
It does,
but
I just looked at 2018 movies. I could not believe that this year Black Panther came out. How is that even possible?
2018's been a really good year for movie releases, unless you're in the DC world.
Hey, Brad, before we sign off, I have to say something.
What's up?
I meant to say it a long time, and I want to get people out there. I'm probably behind. I know I'm behind on this. I'm 7 seasons behind, even though they have small episode counts. Because you said something, I want to promote something that I'm in love with right now, and that is Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix.
That is a that's a sleeper. But
Brad, have you seen this show?
I have yet to see the show.
You need to go right now tonight and start watching it, because it is Power Rangers, like the good parts of Power Rangers,
right,
mixed with the animation, the humor, and the storytelling of The Last Airbender. It is one of the best animated shows I've seen probably since I watched Last Airbender. That's how good it is. I enjoy it. It's very good storytelling, strong humor, great animation, killer fights. The first season's like 11 episodes. The second season's 13. The third season's 7. Like, it's small, quick storytelling. Dude, you are going to blow your top. You're going to love this so much.
You know what, Chris? I'm gonna go back. I'm going to watch it because, you know, I'm trying to write a story I've never written before. Maybe I could take some notes from Joe since he's written so many books.
Yeah, he's got great books. Yeah,
and so many books.
But yeah, I'm definitely interested now that you say that. I've heard so many great things about it going back. Joe, before we get out of here, and I'll ask Chris the same question after, but what are you watching right now or looking forward or about ready to crack open? It could be reading or whatever you're reading too.
I was like, FXX has a Treehouse of Horrors marathon running right now. So that's definitely on my list. as far as what I'm reading right now, I'm going to go back and read. Now, it's not a comic book, but Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere.
Great book.
I need to go back and read that book because I absolutely love it. As far as shows I'm watching, honestly, I'm waiting for Game of Thrones to come back. I think that's all I'm waiting for at this point.
Are you looking forward to that series coming to an end, or would you like it to continue?
No, I'm looking forward to it coming to an end. I am a true believer in finishing a story when you finish a story. Mm-hmm. Chris and I started watching Supernatural together way back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm one of those firm believers Supernatural should have ended at 5 because it was just a fantastic story arc.
Yeah, it's season 15.
What about the they're making like side shows and spinoffs of Game of Thrones. Are you looking forward to those?
I mean, I'll check them out. We'll see how it goes. I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
I feel like if anybody's done it probably right, it's the wandering wizardry world of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's true.
They gave it 4 years and then brought back. But Chris, what's on your list of things to get to?
Mine's Voltron right now. I'm going to get through all the seasons of this. I'm ending season 2 tonight.
Wait. I thought I thought you were like up to date on Voltron.
Hell no. I've only watched season I got the season finale of season 2 tonight, and I'm going to keep watching. I'm just telling you, I'm this deep in and this in love with it. That's what I'm on. I'm also going to check out Daredevil for show.
Okay. All right. I'm all over the place, to be honest, now that I think about it. I'm watching Daredevil right now. Although I'm five episodes in, and I feel like I saw them all at Comic-Con.
Yeah, cool. Get finally caught up.
What else am I watching right now? House on Haunting the Hill.
The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix.
Yeah, so I saw the first episode on this, and I was kind of disappointed.
You weren't sold on it, huh?
Someone sent me an article, and it was like, people are passing out, vomiting all over the streets. Like, it gave me this whole spiel.
God, I was like, it's always the same thing.
It's going to be a long one for me to get through episode one. It took me a minute to get through episode one where I wasn't like, this show's whack. I'm going to give it episode 2, but I'm not happy about it. Not happy at all.
Okay. Well,
if people are passing out and throwing up, like,
I'm expecting it. I better be scared.
It reminded me of a fucking Lemony Snicket's show.
That is not what you were looking for.
That is not.
You were not promised that.
We wrapped it up. We've been talking a long time now.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging in there, 20 people.
Joe, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Like I said, anytime we talk in Simpsons, you are more than welcome to crash our show. We love to have you. Love
you. Hell yeah.
All your insight in the yellow world.
Absolutely.
I'm Bradley Baxter. It's my man, Chris Bucky Watch, and my man, Joe. We out here. We'll see you next week. Be sure. Peace.
Yeah.